Someday I shall publish data that lead me to suspect that many appearances upon this earth that were once upon a time interpreted by theologians and demonologists, but are now supposed to be the subject matter of psychic research, were beings and objects that visited this earth, not from a spiritual existence, but from outer space. That extra-geographic conditions may be spiritual, or of highly attenuated matter, is not my present notion, though that, too, may be someday accepted. Of course, all these data suffer, in one way, about as much distortion as they would in other ways, if they had been reported by astronomers or meteorologists. As to all the material in this chapter, I take the position that perhaps there were appearances in the sky, and perhaps they were revelations of, or mirages from, unknown regions and conditions of outer space, and spectacles of relatively nearby inhabited lands, and of space travelers, but that all reports upon them were products of the assimilating of the unknown with figures and figments of the nearest familiar similarities. Another position of mine that will be found well taken is that, no matter what my own interpretations or acceptances may be, they will compare favorably, so far as rationality is concerned, with orthodox explanations. There have been many assertions that phantom soldiers have been seen in the sky. For the orthodox explanation of the physicists, see Brewster's Natural Magic, p. 125, a review of the phenomenon of June 23, 1744, that, according to 27 witnesses, some of whom gave sworn testimony before a magistrate, whether that should be mentioned or not, troops of aerial soldiers had been seen, in Scotland, on and over a mountain, remaining visible 2 hours and then disappearing because of darkness. In Clark's Survey of the Lakes, FOL 1789, is an account in the words of one of the witnesses. See Notes and Queries, 1-7-304. Brewster says that the scene must have been a mirage of British troops, who, in anticipation of the rebellion of 1745, were secretly maneuvering upon the other side of the mountain. With a talent for clear seeing, for which we are notable, except when it comes to some of our own explanations, we almost instantly recognize that, to keep a secret from persons living upon one side of a mountain, it is a very sensible idea to go and maneuver upon the other side of the mountain, but then how to keep the secret, in a thickly populated country like Scotland, from persons living upon that other side of the mountain, however, there never has been an explanation that did not itself have to be explained. Or the phantom soldiers that were seen at Ujist, Silesia, in 1785, see Parrish's Hallucinations and Illusions, p. 309. Parrish finds that at the time of this spectacle, there were soldiers, of this earth, marching near Ujist, so he explains that the phantom soldiers were mirages of them. They were marching in the funeral procession of General von Kozel. But some time later they were seen again, at Ujist, and the general had been dead and buried several days, and his funeral procession disbanded, and if a refraction can survive independently of its primary, so may a shadow, and anybody may take a walk where he went a week before, and see some of his shadows still wandering around without him. The great neglect of these explainers is in not accounting for an astonishing preference for, or specialization in, marching soldiers, by mirages. But if often there be, in the sky, things or beings that move in parallel lines, and, if their betrayals be not mirages, but their shadows cast down upon the haze of this earth, or Brocken specters, such frequency or seeming specialization, might be accounted for. September 27, 1846. A City in the Sky of Liverpool, Report B.A., 1847-39. The apparition is said to have been a mirage of the city of Edinburgh. This identification seems to have been the product of suggestion. At the time, a panorama of Edinburgh was upon exhibition in Liverpool. Summer of 1847. See Flammarion's The Atmosphere, p. 160. Story told by M. Greloy, that he was travelling between Gulma and Bone, when he saw, to the east of Bone, upon a gently sloping hill, a vast and beautiful city, adorned with monuments, domes, and steeples. There was no resemblance to any city known to M. Greloy. In the Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, 21-180, is an account of a spectacle that, according to 20 witnesses, was seen for 2 hours in the sky of Vendans le Dauphine, May 3, 1848. A city and an army, in the sky. One supposes that a Brewster would say that nearby was a terrestrial city, with troops maneuvering near it. But also vast lions were seen in the sky, and that is enough to discourage any Brewster. 4 months later, according to the London Times, September 13, 1848, a still more discouraging or perhaps stimulating spectacle was, or was not, seen in Scotland. Afternoon of September 9, 1848, Quigley's Point, Loch Foyle, Scotland. The sky turned dark. It seemed to open. The opening looked reddish, and in the reddish area, appeared a regiment of soldiers. Then came appearances that looked like war vessels under full sail, then a man and a woman and a swan and a peahen. The opening closed, and that was the last of this shocking or ridiculous mixture that nobody but myself would record as being worth thinking about. Phantom soldiers that were seen in the sky, near the Banmouth, December 30, 1850, Report B.A., 1852-30. Phantom soldiers that were seen at Butteridge, January 22, 1854, Notes and Queries, 1-9-267. Phantom soldiers that were seen by Lord Roberts, 41 years in India, p. 219, at Mohun, February 25, 1858. It is either that Lord Roberts saw indistinctly, and described in terms of the familiar to him, or that we are set back in our own motions. According to him, the figures wore Hindu costumes. Extra geography, its vistas and openings and fields and the thoroughs that are upon this earth, but undeveloped, because they cannot find their ponds. A lonely thing and its pond, afloat in space they crossed the moon. In Cosmos, NS, 11-200, it is said that, night of July 7, 1857, two persons of Shambon had seen forms crossing the moon, something like a human being followed by a pond. Phantom soldiers that were seen, about the year 1860, at Paderborn, Westphalia, Crow, Night Side of Nature, p. 416. 19. We attempt to coordinate various streaks of data, all of which signify to us that, external to this earth, and in relation with, or relatable to, this earth are lands and lives and a generality of conditions that make of the whole, supposed solar system one globule of circumstances like terrestrial circumstances. Our expressions are in physical terms, though in outer space there may be phenomena known as psychic phenomena, because of the solid substances and objects that have fallen from the sky to this earth, similar to, but sometimes not identified with, known objects and substances upon this earth. Opposing us is the more or less well-established conventional doctrine that has spun like a cocoon around mind upon this earth, shutting off research, and stifling even speculation, shelling away all data of relations and relatability with external existences, a doctrine that, in its various explanations and disregards and denials, is unified in one expression of exclusionism. An unknown vegetable substance falls from the sky. The datum is buried, it may sprout someday. The earthquakes. A luminous object is seen in the sky. Substance falls from the unknown. But the event is catalogued with subterranean earthquakes. All conventional explanations and all conventional disregards and denials have exclusionism in common. The unity is so marked, all writings in the past are so definitely in agreement, that I now think of a general error that is, by exclusionism, as distinctly characterized as ever was the Carboniferous era. A pregnant woman stands near Niagara Falls. There are sounds, and they are vast circumstances, but the cells of an unborn being respond, or vibrate, only as they do to disturbances in their own little environment. Horizons pour into a gulf, and thunder rolls upward. Embryonic consciousness is no more than to slight perturbations of maternal indigestion. It is exclusionism. Stones fall from the sky. To the same part of this earth, they fall again. They fall again. They fall from some region that, relatively to this part of the Earth's surface, is stationary. But to say this leads to the suspicion that it is this Earth that is stationary. To think that is to beat against the walls of uterine dogmas into a partly hairy and somewhat reptilian mass of social undevelopment comes exclusionist explanation suitable for such immaturity. It does not matter which of our subjects we take up, our experience is unvarying, the standardized explanation will be exclusionism. As to many appearances in the sky, the way of excluding foreign forces is to say that they are auroras, which are supposed to be mundane phenomena. School children are taught that auroras are electric manifestations encircling the poles of this earth. Respectful urchins are shown an icon by which an electrified sphere does have the polar encirclements that it should have. But I have taken a disrespectful, or advanced, course through the monthly weather review, and have read hundreds of times of auroras that were not such polar crownings, of auroras in Venezuela, Sandwich Islands, Cuba, India, of an aurora in Pennsylvania, for instance, and not a sign of it north of Pennsylvania. There are lights in the sky for which auroral is as good a name as any that can be thought of, but there are others for which some other names will have to be thought of. There have been lights like luminous surfs beating upon the coasts of this Earth's atmosphere, and lights like vast reflections from distant fires, steady pencils of light and pulsating clouds and quick flashes and seeming objects with definite outlines, all in one poverty of nomenclature, for which science is, in some respects, not notable, called auroral. Nobody knows what an aurora is. It does not matter. An unknown light in the sky is said to be auroral. This is standardization, and the essence of this standardization is exclusionism.